Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
Hey guys, this is MC from MC Anime Podcast. We're back with another guest today, Eric McHugh. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Mason. Thank you very much for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, it should be fun. Eric, tell us a little about yourself, what you do, and where they can find you.
Sure, it's nice to meet everyone. My name is Eric, 31 years old, blessed to be living in beautiful Southern California. My hobbies are chess, reading, meditation, Muay Thai, and pretty much anything under the sun. I do love anime, big into sports animes right now, because I guess that's just the flavor. But I believe everyone's happiest when they're serving other people, and I believe in the power of authenticity. So I'm the number one me in the world. So if Mason, you try to be me, you can't be me. I'll beat you up being me. But at the same time, if I try to be you, I can't beat you up being you. So if you're happiest serving other people, the logical way to do that is to follow your intellectual gifts and natural curiosities, because you're number one in the world. And for me, this just resulted in two different companies. One is ShopX. We're a Web3 e-commerce platform tokenizing the world's products. And the other is Dating, and that's the first ever AI-powered matchmaking service. So if you want to find me, my Instagram is Eric D. McHugh, ericdmchugh. If you're interested in Web3, ShopX, shopx.co. And if you're interested in Dating, it's dating.io.
Gosh. All right. So today's topic is going to be Muay Thai and spirituality. We're going to connect how Eric practiced Muay Thai as a discipline, deliver the culture, and go over how he encompasses his spirituality through the discipline itself. So let's start with Muay Thai as martial arts. How did you get started doing it?
Yeah, so Muay Thai is essentially the martial art of eight limbs. So it's like kickboxing, but you have elbows, knees, kicks and punches, so that's what you can do. I got started a while ago, so I would say 6 or 7 years ago, just because it was a hobby. I was like looking for a hobby after work, and Muay Thai seemed like a good place. And I'm very fortunate to, in my area, so I live in Redondo Beach, and I go to Black House Redondo Beach. So it's a gym where the pros train at, so like you'll see random pros training here and there. So I thought it was a cool experience. So at that time I was a consultant and I couldn't really trade as much as I could. Like you had to work long hours and all that stuff. But then I picked it up right after COVID, because you know, like everyone's locked down, you're kind of locked in your room and like, okay, I've got to get out of here. And then Muay Thai seemed like the perfect hobby to re-engage in. And I use it as, it's a tool for me. So I use it as a anchor during the day. So like I have my morning anchor and I have my nighttime anchor. So what I do is I wake up at 4:20 because I find it funny. The first thing I do is I meditate, because right when you wake up, that's when you have the most melatonin in your brain, and that's the best time to meditate. And if you believe in spirituality, that's when the door to the unconscious is open anyway, so that's the best time. I go to the gym, and then since I work on two different companies and I probably have slight ADHD, it's like my schedule is just a bunch of random calls and stuff, so I do that throughout the day. And then I go to Muay Thai at night as much as I can, because there's a nighttime class. So like if I eat poorly during the day, then I'll probably get hit more and more Thai, and I think that's stupid, so you don't usually do that. So it keeps me on point during the day. And the important thing, and the reason Muay Thai is so valuable to me, is it forces me back in the present moment. Like, if I'm in Muay Thai, and like, I'm thinking about like work problems or whatever like happened during the day, I can't properly hold the mitts. If you're sparring, you just kind of get hit repeatedly until you stop thinking about that and just focus on what's in front of you. So for me, it's a great reset. And on top of that, I think the culture is amazing. Like, it's incredibly respectful. Like, no one cares about what your work, like, no one really asks you what your work is. Everyone's there just to get better. Like, everyone's really just trying to help each other out. No one's trying to injure you. They really have your best interest at heart. So it's a good group of guys to be around. As girls, like, obviously there's more guys than girls, but like, it's a good group of people to be around. And I believe in energy too. So I think of your diet as, so your diet isn't just food. It's like, you know, if you eat bad food, you feel bad the next day. If you eat good food, you feel good the next day. Your diet also consists of the content you consume. So if you consume bad content, you feel bad. If you consume good content, you feel good. The people you're around too, that also applies. And that's also why I like Muay Thai. It's just a good group of people.
Gotcha. So the origin of Muay Thai, because it refers to Thai boxing. So were you introduced to a cultural center that introduced it to you, or was it just a modern adapt to the practice?
So it wasn't like a cultural center, because I live in the United States. It was just like, I was looking for something to do, and that Muay Thai found me. And the lucky thing is, I think our gyms, the gym itself is like, it's not like a, you know, like there's like normal gyms and they have Muay Thai classes and it's not that authentic. The gym I go to is like a legit Muay Thai one where they practice actual Muay Thai. So a lot of times the coaches, like the coaches are legit training for professional fights. Most of them can't even barely speak English, which is typically a good sign. Like my last coach, Jabril, he trained in Thailand for God knows how many years. Like one of my other coaches, he was like sparring partners with Anderson Silva. Like a couple months ago or something, like Alex Pereira and Sean Strickland were sparring at the gym I go to, which was pretty, like, I thought that was cool. It's like, you just like, hey, they post like a video of them and like, you know, like they post like on Twitter and Instagram, their reels. I'm like, oh, that's the gym I go to. And like the gym structure too, it's like a small room. Like it's like a basement type thing. One half of the room is just jujitsu mats and the other half is punching bags. So there's no weights. There's no treadmills. There's no nothing. There's just the mats.
Interesting. So, okay. So instead of a cultural center has the practitioners teaching it or the cultural idea tied to it?
Oh yeah, 100%. And like it's a serious place, like in the sense like they really respect the culture of Muay Thai. Like no one who trains that hard or dedicates that much time is going to be disrespectful to the culture of Muay Thai, because you'll probably get your ass kicked too, so there's that incentive.
True. Through Muay Thai, what have you been able to exemplify as a personal strength after doing it?
So I believe in the compounding effect. So in Muay Thai, first of all, Muay Thai is one of the hardest physical workouts you can ever do. Like harder than lifting weights, harder than football, harder than soccer, harder than running, harder than swimming. Like after a Muay Thai class, you are physically just spent. So one thing my coaches would always say is push the base. So every, and I believe in compounding effects too. So every time you go to Muay Thai, you push the base a little bit further. So then your base level of strength and endurance gets a lot stronger. So like if you've been doing that for 5 years, you have a tremendous edge over people who don't. And in the business world, it's very helpful too, because it gives you a sense of confidence. Like, for example, I can walk into a business call or a business meeting and be like, yeah, you can, you may blah, 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 but I can still get your ass. So there's that level of confidence that comes with it, because you can handle yourself. Because I think the base layer, and we forget this in modern society, is the base layer of every conversation is actually violence. Like in the sense, like, for example, I could go, me and Anderson Silva, like, let's say we're in a room just by ourselves. And I'm like, 2 + 2 = 4, and he's like, 2 + 2 = 6. 2 + 2 is clearly not 6, but I'm like, no, it's 4. And he's like, no, it's 6. And then eventually there'll be a part where you can just kick my ass, and then I'll say it's 6. And it looks like 2 + 2 = 6 now. So it gives you that like level of confidence where you're just like, all right, I can handle this.
Okay. So what is one aspect of Muay Thai that you want others to know about the practice itself?
And so one aspect of Muay Thai, honestly, it's pushing the base. I think that's good. And like kindness is actually the thing too. It's like, but kindness in a violent way. It's like, for example, I'm sparring my partner, sorry, my friend. He sees a hole. He's going to keep exploiting the hole. Like, and then I'm going to keep getting hit until I eventually fix it. But he's not doing it to hurt me. He's doing it to fix my problems and make me better. So it's overall just a very kind thing. And just the level of respect is insanely high. Like everyone there is incredibly respectful. Like you're just like, hello, how are you? And then you train hard, you spar, and then after the sparring, you're back being brothers, which I think is cool. It's honestly like a bunch of anime scenes where like they have their fight and then they're like best buds after.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting to see how not only you fighting, but you are giving yourself to a practice that is so more than yourself. It is more than what you are, because it's a discipline to train the body, but train it in a specific way and a function to be able to serve that your body as an extension of what the moves represent.
No, that's true. And I think training your body is extremely important. The way I view it is I think God gave us a body, so it's like giving someone a gift. And I think it's respectful to God, the creator of the universe, to take good care of your body. And that's how I view Muay Thai. And on top of that, I like the training style. Because it's a little like, because like, imagine like you're training for like 5-10 years, like, and you're holding the pads or someone punching you. You're good at absorbing a lot of impact. So it makes your body itself stronger. So that's the type of training you can't get through weights. It's just like blocking someone's punch over and over again. Your just whole body, your whole core gets stronger from that. And of course, there's a mental fortitude that comes with it. It's like, you train every day. It's like, every single time I'm going to Muay Thai, I always want to turn around. Like, I never want to go because I'm just like, why? I'm tired. It's an hour. It's a lot of work. Kind of hurts. It's very exhausting. And those are the thought processes going, like, driving there. And it's like easy to turn around and just get like in and out or something. But then there's never been a time I went and regretted it. I'm always happy I go. I went after the practice is done. So it really does instill discipline. So
I'm going before the air. And after, so yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you know, yeah, you're just like, I don't really want to go. So to help with that is I always have my gear in my car too. So I train myself where it's like, okay, well, the gear is already in the car. That's one less removal. I start driving and I go.
Okay. Well, I mean, you eliminate procrastination that this is making not go, but better to go. What's the spirituality that you incorporate into the actual practice?
So into the actual practice, I would say it's the present moment thing, because a big concept in spirituality is the power of the present moment. In the sense, like, the present moment is literally all we have. Like, if you're in the future, you're causing yourself anxiety. If you're in the past, a lot of times you're causing yourself sadness. So why not focus on the present moment? And the present moment is it's the access to, like, the infinity, where it's like, if you're completely focused on the present moment, that's how you get in the flow state, and that's how you get the most done. So Muay Thai, from a spirituality perspective, is, A, it helps, it like I said, it forces you back into the present moment, so it helps you train that way. And if you believe in energies, you're absorbing the energy of the people around you, which is good energy. And in meditation, like, I have a meditation spot in my room. So when you meditate, you're supposed to meditate in the same spot over and over again, because your energy goes into that spot. So with Muay Thai, with the culture, with everything, it's the mats that have that energy too, because for God knows how many years, how many people have sweated into those mats, given their heart, given their soul, given their energy, and then you're adding to that with your own sweat, with your own heart. And the cool thing is too, it's like, some of my friends are professional fighters, so like, it's all related too. It's like, we're all interconnected. Like, I spar, like, every day you spar, you train with that one person, you train a different person, you're adding to the collective. Like, because I'll spar with someone, I'll pick up something from them, they'll pick up something from me, and who knows, that guy may spar with someone who spars with someone who spars with, like, Alex Pereira or something big. And because you're a one big team trying to help each other get better, so there's that whole collectiveness, which is, again, is an important concept in spirituality. Because the way I view spirituality is, like, you think of a creator, like God, the consciousness, like the sun, it's like, or like the ocean or whatever, it's like, I'm an individual ray from the sun, so are you, but in the end we come from the same source. So if I were to hate on you, it's like, that's stupid, because that's hating on myself. So there's that concept with Muay Thai, where, like, you're all one part of one big cohesive human, where everything you do affects someone else, and that's why everyone does everything with good intention.
Okay. Did you grow your spirituality one more tie, or did you shrink spirituality?
So what do you mean by that?
Did you have a spirituality before Muay Thai and strengthened it, or did it come from Muay Thai itself?
So they were kind of tandem and separate. So I did Muay Thai first, didn't really get into spirituality, and then I started getting into spirituality like a while ago, and then I started doing Muay Thai after that. So they melded together, but they're pretty independent of each other. It's like, they both help each other out, but like, it wasn't like I got into spirituality because of Muay Thai. It's like, I do them both kind of separately.
Okay. Which one came first?
Casual Muay Thai, heavy spirituality, heavy Muay Thai.
Okay. And what is your personal spirituality like?
So I have a meditative practice. So So my personal ethos is, I think of everything in energy, frequency, and vibration. So I think when you're saying, like, I'm angry, I'm happy, I'm loving, I'm sad, you're just, all you're saying is, I'm vibrating a specific frequency. And just like that, just like a radio station, if you turn to a specific frequency, you get that station. So if you're angry, you're on the angry frequency, you get angry people. If you're loving, you get loving people. And so I view everything as a scale. So each frequency goes from 0 to 1,000. Shame being the lowest. Jesus, Krishna, and the Buddha, they were people who reached 1,000. If you talk to someone and you feel drained after, they're below 200. But if you talk to someone and feel energized after, they're above 200. So my inner purpose is to raise my own level of consciousness to rise at that frequency scale. And this raises the frequency of those around me, and then it raises the frequency of those around them, creating a nice positivity upward spiral. And then your outer purpose, I think everyone has the same inner purpose, whether they know or not. And your outer purpose is how do your natural gifts help you with your inner purpose. So that's my overall base spiritual perspective. I went to a Vipassana meditation retreat. So that was my big, like a spiritual breakthrough moment. And so what that is, it's a 10-day full meditation retreat in noble silence. So no looking at anyone, no talking with anyone, because it's just full introspective practice. It's the method that the Buddha used to reach enlightenment. So what you do is you focus your attention on the area around your nostril for 3 days. You start to pick up different sensations. And then from there, you scan your body back and forth over and over again. And what this does, it extracts the traumas you've stored throughout your whole lifetime or lifetimes, if you believe in that, in the form of different sensations. So it's somewhat of like a spiritual cleanse. Like if you were a NASA scientist, you want to send a piece of metal into space, you have to extract the impurities. The best way to extract those is to run it through like a magnet or something, and the magnet pulls off the impurities, leaving you with a pure piece of metal. So you're just doing that body scan over and over again, getting rid of all your trauma. And once you do that, you become a positivity generator versus a negativity generator. And then you close the meditation by storing all your energy in your forehead and then wishing everyone in the world peace, love, and happiness. And if you're putting yourself on that frequency, then people wish you peace, love, and happiness back, which is overall a good thing. So that's one of the meditations I use. Because I also believe where your attention goes, your energy flows. So if you're focusing on good things, you get more good things in your life, creating a nice little positivity upward spiral. But the flip side, if you focus on negative things, you're just paying attention to negativity, then you're going to attract more negative things in your life. So it's helped me be a positive person at my core, and that's helped me get the good opportunities that's come my way, and then you just have to take advantage of them.
So you were able to find yourself in a moment where the meditation got very personal to you. You were able to examine who you were, find how you were, and how does that point after that transform you now?
So in terms of awakening, like it's like a continuous process. You don't like awaken once and then that's it. It's just like constantly over and over again. It's like constant death, constant rebirth, constant death, constant rebirth. And then you learn what the laws of the universe is impermanent. So things are literally always changing. So it's a lifelong thing that you don't finish. But one of the most specific moments I remember is, so my the way the center is structured is there centers across all the world, including the United States. So my specific center was in Joshua Tree, California, which is nice because it was in the Holy Land where like the Indians considered a peaceful time, like the peace area where they weren't allowed fighting. So you have a meditation hall, your room, a dining hall, and a walking path. So I remember one time I was just after the whole day, which is pretty tiring. I was lying down in the desert on like the benches in the walking path, just looking up. And then I saw like hundreds of shooting stars just started firing off. And I remember that was one of the most beautiful moments I've ever had. So if I had to pick one moment, that was probably it. But like I said, it's like, it's a process. It's not like, it's like lifting weights. You know, like there's not a certain point where you lift weights, you just jacked it strong. It's like it's something you continuously do.
Okay. So you continuously do it and you get more practice of it. What is the empowerment behind that notion?
Yeah, so it's something I do. So I believe in quantum theory too. I think whatever reality you pay attention to is what happens. So like, you know, Schrodinger's cat. If you think the cat is dead, it's dead. But if you think the cat's alive, it's alive, because both realities are happening simultaneously and you're paying attention to one reality. So that's also why I believe I'm focusing on positive things. So I just focus on all the things that are good. So I use my meditation in the morning to set my intention for the day. So it's like, I'll meditate. I'm like, okay, everything's gonna go well. Calls are gonna go well. We're gonna help some people. And the day kind of crafts around that. And on top of that, if you think of your mind like an email inbox, like imagine not opening your email inbox for years. The first time you open your email inbox in like years, you just have tons of emails and you get overwhelmed. But meditation is like that, where your emails are your thoughts. So when you first start meditating, you get bombarded with tons of different thoughts and can be a bit overwhelming. But the longer you meditate, the more you do it, the more consistently you do it. It's like you're checking each individual email inbox, you're handling it and taking care of. And then after a while, your mind just becomes more clear because you've addressed all the thoughts. You've observed them and let them do their thing, and they kind of fizzle out. So you're not really holding on to anything. And then from that calm state of mind, honestly, is when you make the best decisions anyways. Like if you're in a rush, you're angry, you're sad, you're happy, you're whatever. If you're in that emotional state, your decision-making process is impaired. So the best way to make a decision is from a calm state. And that's where meditation kind of has. And from the frequency vibration thing, if you're meditating, like for example, I try to help as many people as possible, which is a good thing. And it's also self-serving too, because if I'm trying to help as many people as possible, there are tons of people who try to help me. Like I'll go to a networking event, and networking events can be pretty annoying sometimes, to be honest. like most people are there, just like, what can I get out of the other person? Blah, blah, blah. It's kind of like icky. But I go to the network event, I'm like, okay, how can we help these people? And I meet the people who are trying to help me, which is a much better way to do business. Cause like, oh, how can I help you? How can I help you? And then that's where actual business partnerships are formed. So like, it's ideal in that sense.
Okay. So what aspect of the actual process of Muay Thai is self-evident in you personally?
Probably the discipline aspect. Like, you have to be disciplined to go to Muay Thai. And to be successful, you have to have discipline. Like, for to run companies, you have to be very disciplined. And you also have to think on the fly, and you always have, and you also have to be present moment. So, like, it teaches you respect. So, like, I'll treat a janitor the same as I treat a CEO. I think that's just how things should be done. And Muay Thai teaches you that, because you treat everyone exactly the same in the same respectful manner. So respect is one. Discipline's one, too. It's like, you never feel like going. It's hard physical work, but you go and you feel happy after. Like, if you're running companies or even, like, a normal, like, actually, for everyone should have discipline. So I think it teaches you that as well. The present moment thing, too. It's like, in Muay Thai, the present moment. When I do work, I'm in the present moment. So when I'm answering emails. When I'm writing a graph, I'm doing Excel. When I'm doing code work, I'm doing code work. I'm not focused on something else. Because, like, let's say I'm writing an email while thinking about the code work. It's pointless to think about the code work because I'm writing the email. It takes away from the email because it takes me away from the present moment. And now my energy splits. So the email is not going to be as good as it could be. So there's that. And I would say the last thing is the creativity too. It's like in Muay Thai, if you do the same thing over and over again, it's not going to end well. And for business, like more so in startup world, you're trying a bunch of things and a lot of things won't work, but some things do. So you just have to try a bunch of different variations of things and stick to the thing that works. Like it teaches you a bunch. And the overall confidence level is huge too. Like I mentioned earlier, it helps walk you around the world knowing you're strong and can handle a situation. And if I can handle some guy try to kick me in the face, I don't think a sales call is too difficult.
Okay. And in Muay Thai, is there a system of level to meet? Like, say, you know, like different belts, different classes, different skill levels?
No, so that's what I actually like about it. So there's no belt system. Everyone just shows up to the class. And then you usually pair up with your partner. So the coach will generally pair you up with a partner who's your roughly your skill level. So like, but again, it's all the class. And like, for example, in sparring, like you rotate. Like if I'm sparring with someone much weaker than me, like I'll obviously just won't be mean to them. And if I'm sparring someone much stronger than me, like they're not being mean to me. It's just like, you just train with a bunch of different people, but there's no class system. Of course, like you can tell when someone's like training professionally and someone's training casually, like you just tell, but like, there's no like, oh, who's a black belt? Who's a purple belt? Yeah. You're all just one big team.
All right. Okay. So with that aspect, what do you take from incorporating all spirituality and Muay Thai together? What has been the focus on that journey?
So it's not something that I've consciously tried to do. It's not like I'm trying to add spirituality into Muay Thai. It's just more so like spirituality is part of the base. So it inherently goes into Muay Thai. But I think it's an intention thing too. Like I'm intending to get stronger. I'm intending to help the other person. And the same thing happens with me. And you know, it's more the vibe thing too. Cause like, I believe everyone has a field. Like I have this invisible electronic field around me and my thoughts feed the field. The people feed the field, the content feed the field, the food feeds the field. And in Muay Thai, you're around it's a good field. Like for example, like in the meditation retreat, like you have your same spot in the meditation hall, and the energy in that hall is pretty insane because everyone's there for the full 10 days, did the same thing as you are. So like, it's a weird feeling, but it's a good feeling. And I get the similar thing with the mats in Muay Thai, where it's like, it's a weird feeling, but it's a good one. And then you pick up on that and you lead better off. It's like a cleanse.
Oh.
It's kind of like a cleanse type of thing. So you just get everything out.
What's the moves that you typically have trouble with? Like you're trying to do, but you're not always getting it.
So I have a really good switch kick, so I can switch pretty quickly. I'm good at that. My boxing is good too. It's just my back kick is kind of hard since I kind of like hurt my ankle. So like I can't fully rotate my foot or my left foot to get the full power with the back kick. So it kind of throws me off balance. Honestly, my balance isn't the greatest too. I'm like 30, so like there's a lot of times you train like 18 girls who just have like tons of energy and just like I'm kind of tired at this point and they're just kind of running around. So there's that. Yeah. I'm good at knees and elbows too, so those are my strong points.
Yeah, you would say your equilibrium is something that is affecting you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean it's not like the best in the world, but it's like there's people much better than me at balancing. My flexibility isn't good either. So that's my biggest challenge. Like I can't, like, it's hard to touch your toes, and, like, then you can't kick that high with poor flexibility.
Okay. And, yeah, I mean, I get the understanding. The equilibrium is important, but the balance also plays a factor as well. And if that is affecting some of your movements, you might be restricted what you could do But you do your best anyway because you know it's just a mutual discipline for you to practice yourself.
Yeah, no, it's like you go every day, you get a little bit better. I think that's good. And the balance isn't so much like the movement's effective. You can still do it, but if you're off balance, that's when you're vulnerable. So that's the bigger part of having why balance is important. Because if I could get you off balance, I can just sweep you and then you fall down. And then you obviously don't want to do that. So it opens up holes with poor balance. So that's the bigger thing. It's not so much you can't kick. It's like after you kick, then you're like open.
Mm-hmm. And is Muay Thai in the discipline of like self-restraint and all that aspects?
Oh, yeah, dude, absolutely, too. Like sometimes I'll be sparring with a kid. And if I'm obviously not going to go hard with the kid, it's like if we were to spar, what I would do is I would hit you a bunch, but then I'd slow down like right before I hit you so it like wouldn't hurt. But you knew you get done. Like you knew that's a problem for you. You would have to stop getting hit. So like, of course, you have to temper. You have to either. Well, it's nice. I like sparring someone better, but like if you're sparring someone worse, you obviously have to use self-restraint because you're not trying to hurt the other person. Like your friends, you want them to come back. You don't want them to have that bad experience. But at the same time, they also need to learn where their holes are. Because like let's say you're sparring and I there's a hole that allows me to hit you in the face. I would just keep doing that until you eventually block. And then you'd eventually block, and now you're more likely to block that the next time. Because that's really how you learn.
Okay, so you like to teach your sparring partners to the repeat cycle of where they're missing, where they could be better, and have to strengthen them from their base to be, I guess, equal to what their goal should be.
Yeah, no, that's right. And to tie that back into spirituality, like, I believe the universe teaches us lessons. So, like, every experience you have, there's a lesson that can be learned from the universe. And in the universe, if you don't learn your lesson, it's going to keep sending you the same type of thing until you eventually learn your lesson. Like, let's say you have trouble with girls and you're dating, like, one specific toxic girl. If you date her and you keep kind of dating her, you're going to keep attracting that type of person until you eventually learn that that's not the type of person for you. Same concept with the sparring. It's like, oh, okay, well, you're going to keep getting him the same. Your weakness is going to keep getting exploited until you do something about it.
Oh, okay. So you were referring to if you attract a similar people in your life, then those people will be attracted back to you because you're letting them in the first place.
Yeah, no, it's if you're attracting the wrong type of people in your life, that's a you. That's completely a you thing.
All right. So was there a moment in your spirituality where you felt the strongest or like particular moment where it blossomed more than other times?
Yeah, it's hard to say because I do pretty consistently. Like some meditations, each meditation is a different session. But there are times like after, honestly, during the retreat, just because you're just so focused on it, like I still meditate, but like I have other stuff to do, like normal. But in the meditation retreat, that's all you're doing for 10 days. So you can really feel the energy flow back and forth. And you can just like, I could send energy down my arm, and then you can track it extremely well. And then you can start getting really granular in your skin. So you feel like a different, like on the cell level type of thing. You can send your back and forth in between your body. So you can do some crazy stuff with your energy when you're in that amount of focus for so long. And then you kind of lose it when you go back into the real world. But I thought that was cool.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. What is one aspect of Muay Thai that a lot of people don't realize?
Honestly, the belt thing. Like, not ever, because like you asked the question, it's like everyone assumes there's like belt levels, but I think that's representative of the higher than like just the equality within Muay Thai. Like when you go to Muay Thai, you could be a janitor, you could be a CEO, you could be a salesman, it doesn't matter because you're all equal, you're all there for the same reason. And I think not having belts pretty accurately represents that because my friends do jujitsu too, because the other side, you know, it's the belt system, it's kind of like a hierarchical thing where it's like the white belt subconsciously feels worse than the black belt, I think. But with Muay Thai, it's like, you're all equal. Like, it could be a 50-year-old dad, an 18-year-old kid, a woman, a man. It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. Have you ever got a chance to spar with someone of a different practice or at least a different combination of martial arts or no?
Yeah, so like a lot of, like, so the way our gym is structured is, like, there's jujitsu and there's Muay Thai, so a lot of people go back and forth. I personally don't like jujitsu that much, so I stick with Muay Thai. But I've started a bunch of jujitsu people, I've started a bunch of wrestlers, a bunch of karate practitioners, because, like, a lot of them are training for the MMA, so they're training mixed martial arts, so they have a bunch of, like, Muay Thai is the base for a lot of people, but a lot of them know boxing, a lot of them know karate, a lot of them know jujitsu. So, yeah, you get a good mix, but you can't really tell, like, because it's all one big blob type thing where it's like, you know, I'm not like, oh, he's using his karate now, he's using his Muay Thai now, he's using his boxing now, because it's all just like, well, you're focused on not getting a hit, but yeah, you're going to win there.
Typically, if they spar in Muay Thai, they're going to use the Muay Thai moveset.
Yes, but a little
pun.
They'll have a base. Like, for example, if you spar someone in karate, you can kind of tell they're focused on their kicks. They're doing a lot more kicks. If you're sparring someone in jiu-jitsu, you can tell that typically jiu-jitsu guys try to get really close to. Boxers have a different style too, where it's like, well, boxers are pretty easy to deal with because you can just kick their legs and they're not used to that, but everyone has like a different base type of thing.
Okay. What is your strongest moveset in the Muay Thai itself? What is you like to do and have been able to do better at?
One-twos. One-twos are crisp. I like to focus on liver too. So a lot of my, I'm good at setting the liver up. So like, I'm good at getting liver blows, which is probably the worst thing you want to get hit with.
Okay. Have you found a way to maybe protect your liver better and, you know, adjust your standing or your footing to be able to counteract that? Or
yes, oh no, you're constantly working on it. But that's something you just have to get hit enough times where you're just like, this kind of sucks, and you start. Because the liver blow is much worse than getting hit in the face. So then you're good at defending it just because you realize it sucks. And you really just kind of block with your elbow or just like check for the kick. And it's just practice. Because when you first start, you're not blocking anything. You just kind of get wailed on it for a while. But then eventually you learn you have to block.
Yeah. Have you had any injuries from your sparring sessions? Or has it been pretty much okay? Moderate.
No, nothing bad. Like, you always leave kind of banged up because you're just like, ow. Like, there's a couple bloody noses, but nothing serious. Like, no broken arm, no sprain, anything. Because again, like, no one's really trying to hurt each other. Like, you'll bang your knees a lot, which is kind of annoying when you're both kicking and like you knee each other. Like, you both hit each other in the knee and it's like, oh, that kind of hurt. But yeah, no serious injuries. And I've actually never seen like any serious injuries happen, now that you mentioned. It's not like we go sparring like every day. So the structure of the course is the first 4 days, Monday through Thursday. It's like more so training like one-on-one with light sparring, occasional sparring, and specific sparring, meaning like, it's like specific sparring is okay. You're only doing one-twos and kicks or whatever to really focus on that specific bunch. And then Fridays is Arjun. That's when we do spar day. We're just all sparring. But yeah, no, I've never actually seen anyone get too injured. Like, I've seen people get like bloody noses and all that stuff, which is standard, but like, no like catastrophic broken bone. Because like, you have pads too. Like, you have your gloves and you have your shin guards during sparring too. So it's unlikely to get injured. And everyone's practicing restraint. Like, no one's really trying to hurt each other too. So it's pretty unlikely that and you get injured. Like, you're more likely to get injured fighting someone who doesn't know how to fight than someone who actually knows how to fight.
Oh, okay. Interesting. What is your favorite what is your favorite component to Muay Thai?
The overall physicality of it and the confidence that comes from it. So it's an extremely hard workout. Your body becomes different. So like, I'd punch the bag probably millions of times, and like, imagine how from like, imagine you know, like, you know, like anime where they have those special eyes and you can see like Sharingan and all like Byakugan, you can kind of see within the body. It's, I think, from just blocking so many hits, like such it's quick bursts of impact and relax, quick bursts of impact and relax, and doing that over and over again, I think the body changes, and I think it becomes much stronger just from overall use. So that's my favorite aspect.
Okay, so you were like getting into what the physicality represents. The release of different things going on. You only focus on what the sparring is, the training. You get the meditation. You separate everything else. Just focus on what you're doing. And then you also get that boost of confidence to give you even more drive to focus on the task at hand.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. That's a really good summary.
Interesting. So through the process of finding Muay Thai, what is the approach to thought of Muay Thai to help prepare for Muay Thai other than the meditation?
I mean, there's nothing too much you can do to prepare. It's like, you kind of want to enter a state of relaxation. So the more relaxed you are, the better it is. It's more so you just have to show up consistently. And that's once you show up, you get in the mood. Like, as soon as you get there, then you kind of kick into gear. But like, the battle is getting in the car and getting there.
Okay. So once you overcome the initial conflict to get there, it's pretty much just here you are ready to go and ready for whatever it's yet thrown at you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, because once you're there, like, you're doing your focus. Like, because, like you said, the energy of the room, everyone's there for the same reason, then you get into it pretty quickly. But it's like, it'd be like, my class is at 6, so like, the hardest time is like when it's like 5 and I have to leave at like 5:20. And then I try to make up excuses in my mind not to go, but then you just gotta go.
Okay. Through your experience,
What has transformed the most for you? Your spirituality or Muay Thai? In the Diddy Pacific?
Spirituality, overall mindset, raising my vibration. So before the spirituality, your base is like just unpleasant, and just like your base level of thoughts are usually just pretty unpleasant because you've been programmed. Like most people have been programmed that way to have unpleasant thoughts for a specific reason. And if your subconscious controls over 95% of your actions and your subconscious is overall negative, it's going to result in a negative life. But if your subconscious is overall positive, yeah, you drop a bit sometimes, but you go right back to it. So if your base level is high, you always revert back to the base. Spirituality brought me a positive base, which raised positive experiences in my life. Whereas Muay Thai is great, but it's more of a physical workout and like a hangout thing for me. So spirituality is more important.
Right.
The body's temporary, but the soul is forever. So I think spirituality is more important.
Was there ever a moment where you took basic principles of Muay Thai or your spirituality and applied it to real life to someone else?
I don't know. So I think both of those are pretty integrated in my base. So there's always a hint of spirituality and Muay Thai in everything I do. So it's both. There isn't a specific moment, it's just constantly in everything.
Okay. Has there been a moment where you affected someone else to who you were?
No, I think so. I think I'm, because I've been on like hundreds of podcasts, and I specifically like going, because meditation, spirituality has been the most beneficial thing I've ever done. So I've been on lots of podcasts, like even yours, for example. Like I go on like a business one who's like just straight about technology and all that stuff. But I always bring up that meditation retreat. I always talk about the importance of spirituality. And I know like, if even that awakens one person and they start their journey, because it's a process that just helps everyone. So I think that's been good. And I obviously preach authenticism, so like if I'm living my authentic life, people see that, they start to live their authentic life. So I think I've affected tons of people in a good way, so I'm happy about that.
What are some personal triumphs you have overcome through either Muay Thai or the spirituality that you practice in quantum?
Muay Thai in the sense, honestly, just kind of winning sparring matches. That's pretty fun. That's great. It's hard to like from Muay Thai, because like, you know, like there's no belts too. So here's like, you know, there's not so much. It's more of just a continuous process of getting better versus like, hey, I got the black belt type of thing. In business, obviously tons of business success. So working on two different companies at the same time, I think is very, very rewarding for me. So when the app launches, I'll be happy. When ShopX does this thing, I'll be happy.
Interesting.
All right. How has your hobbies expanded through how you are spiritually, Muay Thai, and any other activity you've done from your base level to daily life?
Yeah, so in terms of hobbies, like I said, my goal is to raise my own level of scale. So I only do hobbies that raise my vibration. So Muay Thai raises my vibration, spirituality raises my vibration. And because I'm into those, it affects the type of books I read. So then reading raises my vibration. I spend a lot of time in nature, that raises my vibration. So those are pretty much my core four. And anime too, like there's lots of spirituality concepts in anime like that are there. So I think, for example, if you read like a book called 33 Secrets by Manly P. Hall, he describes Atlantis, and I think One Piece is based off Atlantis. I think that their never give up attitude is good in anime. I think a lot of these spiritual, or like all the good animes have a spiritual base, whether you know it or not. So once you enter the spirituality base, it's like you start seeing everything in that lens, and it's a different way to see the world.
Okay. You have any particular favorite animated or anime series?
It's really the flavor of the month, but my favorite of all time is just One Piece, just because I think that's goated. Right now, I'm sports anime. I'm Blue Lock, Haikyuu, and Kuroko. So those I like because they make you feel. The first time I watched those before Muay Thai, because they kind of get you motivated. I rewatched Monster. That's obviously a good one. Code Geass is chill. Like obviously DBZ's classic. The fighting ones are entertaining too. Since I started Muay Thai, I've been getting into more fighting anime. So I like Baki and Kengan and Record of Ragnarok. So a lot of times I'll use the moves that they try, and I'll just name that. Like in my mind I'll use like anime moves on that. Obviously Naruto and Bleach are standard too. It's like you can't hate on them. I just finally it took me forever. So I bought obviously Demon Slayer was chill. It took me forever. I finally caught up on Black Clover and My Hero. So I got the new big three under my belt just because that took. Because I didn't watch My Hero and Black Clover when they came out, but since they've been. Like, I finished Black Clover, like, last month, and before that was My Hero, so, like, I was glad I waited on that for them to come out. But, yeah, I have Tariqa. Tariqa's good, too. I like food. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
A big fan of Haikyuu.
Thank you. One that's been really good for fighting as well as was, like, Toriko. You should probably watch Toriko. It's all about the gourmet
eats and them the other characters from food.
This is the big one.
I've seen Toriko, and that's how I think of food, actually, because you know how, like, when they eat, like, their specific food, they level up? Like, I only eat food that levels me up, because you absorb it, So I created my own full course meal and everything, too. I like Toriko. It reminded me of One Piece. That was, like, and Neo's terrifying, that little monster that eats everything. I'm like, oh. But no, that's also, too, our fear. That's also, I've noticed that in Muay Thai, too. It's, like, because sometimes you're sparring someone, like, you know, like, when their gourmet cells in Toriko are defeated, the cells never forget that. That happens in Muay Thai too. It's like if you defeat someone and you can defeat their cells, they feel, you can see the fear. So that's a relation to Toriko. Who's your favorite of the four? Who's the favorite of the four Heavenly Kings?
Yeah, I just also finished recently Recreators. It was an interesting take on Isekai. Instead of them going to another world, actually, like, IP properties like anime, video games, graphic novels, you know, visual games, coming to the real world of Japan, and they're battling a concept of creation. So these are all based on popular IP properties from Japan, and they're battling this other IP, which is into the fan portion of it. So they're getting unlimited power from fan fiction, and that's what they're drawing. That's why the concept itself is like harder to defeat them, because how you defeat someone who keeps battling with the role of society and, I guess, physics.
That's interesting. When I check that out, actually, that seems cool.
It's a battle of concepts. They get the creators in, they try to use the power of concept to create something for the audience to appeal to.
Oh, so the more they...
It's actually a good season, 22 episodes.
Is it one season, or are they continuing?
It's one season. It's pretty much finished. There's like spin-offs off of it, but it's one complete season.
Oh, yes, that's kind of last. It's done. Like, it's... Yeah, just because waiting for, like, you know, when you start something and you're stuck waiting for the next season. Like, for example, Attack on Titan. It's like, I kind of wish I just waited for everything on Attack on Titan to be done before I watched it, because they, like, the lag, and then they kept extending the final arc. It's like, well, I'm going to watch it regardless. But it's like, I like when I find an anime. Like, for example, I just watched All Black Clover. It's like, I like when I find it and there's a lot of stuff I can do versus it's one season, I have to wait. And this is going to be like 10, 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. What is one take you want to give the audience as if we close up the conversation about Muay Thai, the spirituality, fighting, anything like that?
Yeah, so I think everyone's a conscious creator, whether they know it or not. So when you're creating something, don't harm anyone and don't take anything away from anyone. And you should be good to go, because karma is a real thing. So if you do bad things, you'll get bad things. Never worth it.
Well, I think the practice of Muay Thai is definitely embodied in you. You want to, you know, practice the quantum spirituality to a level that is to rise the base. You incorporate activities to do so and continue to follow the path. It's noble. Because you can always go off the path and it will only not achieve your goal. So how do you stay on goal for that
purpose? So Miyamoto Musashi's quote is never stray from the way. It's like, take that to heart. So pretty much I do what just most excites me, because that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So if you do what generally most excites you, if you're following your purpose, that'll keep you on the path. Because, like, if it's your purpose, it's exciting to you. And if you do what most excites you, it keeps you on the path.
Gotcha. The positive reinforcements based back to the spirituality, but based in the activities that will boost you up.
Yeah, it's like, because I believe in timelines too. I think you can jump on a negative timeline. I think you can jump on positive timelines. The more positive things, the better timeline you get. And then you eventually find your... Okay, I'll give you a Toriko reference. Like, you know how Komatsu has that luck thing? Do you remember, like, when they first entered the gourmet world? They entered, like, a maze type thing, and there's a lot of different paths. And then Komatsu finds, like, the specific path, and they get to their goal. So just think that in timeline. You just keep mucking around until you find your right timeline. And then you find that timeline, that's where you win the most, and you just have to accept it.
True. All right, well, this wraps up Muay Thai and spirituality. Anchor Eric, thank you for being here. Before we go, please re-inform to the audience where they can find you and how they can support you.
Yeah, so if you want to find me on Instagram, it's Eric D. McHugh, ERICDMCHUGH. I like Instagram because we can do voice notes. If you're interested in ShopX, it's shopx.co. If you're interested in dating, it's dataing.io. So yeah, if you're interested in Web3, ShopX, if you're interested in AI-powered matchmaking, check out our app. It's going to go live on February 14th. If not, just have a wonderful day.
All right, guys. Well, this wraps up this episode. Eric, thank you for being here. It was very fun having you. And this ends for this episode of NCMA Podcast. Bye, guys.
Bye.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.